Today is found in Luke chapter 10. We're going to be doing verses 38 to 42. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. In our few moments together, I want to tell you just a story about listening and setting priorities right. Now, you have most likely heard this story from the Gospels before, and I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase. I know that I've heard this phrase a lot in my life: be a Mary, don't be a Martha. And I want to encourage us to not necessarily look at these two women as binary opposites of what God intends for our life, but to be able to look at what it is that Jesus is really trying to say about what it means to be present. As you have seen in throughout our service today, there's a lot about being present in the day, listening. Dan, thank you for doing a song about listening. We so often need to spend some time doing listening because it has to do with what it is that we care about. But it's so easy to get caught up on busyness. We have this phrase in our home that, and I don't know if those of you who might have children might occasionally, on rare occasion, see a dish or a pair of shoes or something that has been left in a room that the person who used it is no longer in and do not plan on returning to that particular item, but oddly enough, the item is still there. Does that seem familiar to anyone here? Sure, we all do it, and we have this phrase that happens at our home is that whenever I see this very rare thing that happens, right, Carol, hardly ever occurs that something is left out, I will often go to the person who last had their fingerprints on it, and I say, "Who did you expect was coming by to pick this up?" And it's a real question. And you know, that is one of those questions, you know, like, "Hey, the maid is off today," or one of those throwaway things. Like, I make them answer the question for me because I want them, and you go, "That, you're just a horrible father." Yeah, you know, like, I want them to answer the question because I want it in their brain to be able to say, "Pay attention to your surroundings," because the only answer to the question is, "I'm expecting you, Dad, to come along and pick up after me." And I will say, that is not how our family works. Because if you're expecting me to come along and pick this up, then that is a real problem. Now, as my kids have aged, they've gotten smarter, right? So now they might answer the question of, "I just planned on leaving it there." Or, "I planned on coming back later to get it." You know, later is, that's the most common one, right? How many of you ever heard that? "I was coming back later." Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. How many of you believe? How many of you, when you leave something in a room, your plan all the time was, I'm scheduling into my calendar right now, I'm going to come back Tuesday about 3 o'clock and pick that up. I've got an opening. No, we don't do that. We just haven't thought about it. We haven't been aware of it. In fact, you might even go so far as to say, we didn't care. And that's often what it is. Like, when things are left behind, it's not like anyone in our household is honestly saying, I'll leave this here. I bet mom is coming later to pick it up. They wouldn't be thinking actively, because if you do this, knowing the standards of your home, it's just as simply, I didn't care enough to remember. And that's often what I'm trying to communicate to my kids, is that living in a family means that you care about the family, that you are aware of the things that are going on. I want you to care. That is all I'm asking of you. I want you to care. Did you see that phrase in the scripture reading? Is that Jesus is not the one who do you expect to come by, but the phrase, do you not care? You know, Jesus is at this party, and I love this character of Martha. Martha is a pretty hardcore woman. Because think about what you know of gender relationships in the first century. Gender related, like, women didn't have much rights or status in culture, and especially in a traditional culture like the Jewish culture. But here, Jesus is walking into town, and there is this woman named Martha who Jesus meets, and Martha has such status in this town that Martha feels the boldness to say to Jesus, I'm extending to you an invitation to come to our home. That's usually something reserved for ruling people, for rabbis, for people that are wealthy. Martha apparently has achieved, for some reason, enough status in her community to have the ability to invite Jesus into her home. And nobody was like, your home? Nobody thought a thing about it. In fact, Jesus said, yes, I would love to come to your home. So Martha gets to host. Now, this is Martha's party. She did the invite. Now, I am sure as she is looking at Jesus and seeing the followers that Jesus has with him, that she recognizes that this is not going to be a small party. This is not a one-on-one invitation. That Jesus, if you got some time, come on over. We would love to host you for dinner. She's recognizing that if you invite Jesus, you're inviting his whole crew. And so her home, first of all, is big enough to be able to host everyone. So understand this person, Martha. Martha is already an extraordinary woman before we even begin the conversation. So I want to be really careful to write off Martha. This is her home. This is her party. This is her family. She is apparently the matriarch of this family. And I would imagine as she is looking at Jesus, and there's at least 12, most likely more, people that are coming with Jesus, is that she fully expected that her sister, Mary, was going to help out. After all, we are still talking about the same gender roles of the first century, right? Because there is an expectation that Mary was going to participate in the hosting duties that are required of this kind of party. But what does Mary do? Mary watches all the disciples and the other invited guests come in and watches everyone sit down at the feet of Jesus, and she does the same thing. Again, understand, looking through the lens of gender roles of the first century, that was kind of a typically male spot. So these are a couple of liberated women that even in the first century have been used to living their life a particular way, and except, but Mary sits down, doesn't think anything about it. Notice that Martha, when Martha goes up to Jesus, doesn't say, can you believe the scandal of my sister sitting at your feet listening when she should be doing something else? No, Martha's running all around being a host. Have you ever done that? You've hosted a group, a large group of people at your home. I've been to parties at your house. Hosting a large group of people at your home, and you have no time to actually be at the party. Have you ever felt that experience? Yeah, because you're doing so much work hosting the party that you're not actually at the party. And that is what Martha is experiencing. Well, Martha's frustrated about it. This is her party. This is her home. She's the matriarch. She's gained enough substance to be able to have this party and listen to it. And she's looking all around. She's running all over the place doing the hosting duties that are required of anyone who is hospitable in the first century. And she's looking at her sister and saying, "What? You ever done that? You're walking around, running around your house doing things, and you look at your other family members and go, seriously, pick up a dish. Seriously, something, anything." She finally loses her mind to the point that she goes up to not Mary, but who? Jesus. Understand, this is a woman that has all the stuff inside to feel the boldness to not only go to Jesus and say, "Come over to my house," but to go to Jesus and ask Jesus to do something about the situation in her own family. And she looks at it and says, that's what she leads with. "Do you not care that my sister doesn't care?" That's what she's going through, right? She's feeling these emotions of feeling like, does anyone care? Because I have all of these responsibilities and no one is lending a hand. Not even Jesus. Jesus is kind and compassionate. Shouldn't Jesus look at Mary and go, "Mary, why don't you go help your sister here? I mean, that's the least that you can do." Jesus' response is so surprising. Jesus says, "Mary has chosen the better part." Some translations say the best part. "And what she has chosen will not be taken away from her." I like that. Whenever I look at that, I have to admit that I feel like Martha a lot in my life. And I realize that most of my stress comes because I've decided what a situation requires, and I've made a list based on what I think the situation requires, whether culturally or because of my job or anything like that. And I'm working so hard to meet this list, and sometimes I look around and go, "There's nobody helping." And then you ask me, "How's it going?" And I say, "I'm so..." You know the word. When people ask you culturally now, "Hey, how's it going?" How many people now, you don't answer, "I'm fine" anymore. They answer what? I'm so busy. I'm so stressed. Oh, there's so much going on, man. I'm holding it together, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like we're talking of this life like our hair is just like mad, like crazy out. Like we look like Einstein or something, and we just haven't figured out how to do life yet. You know, we give parents in our culture a bad rap all the time for living that Martha life, don't we? You know, culture has now dictated what childhood should look like. And it should look like sports and dance and school and karate and extracurriculars and play dates and time with friends. And you may have even seen cars, a big SUV with a bumper sticker that says "Mom's Taxi" on the outside. It's become a badge of honor, an expression of love in our culture, that what we do is that our family life is completely stressed as we're trying to do the job of raising our family. We do it in church too, right? Statistics are that, 20% of the people do 80% of the work in a church. And as I look around, I go, yeah, those statistics are probably true, maybe even tipped a little bit less, might be more 10-90, somewhere in there. It's usually a small amount of people, and sometimes it's just left to the people that we hire to do things. There's a small amount of people doing the largest amount of work in the church. But I'm wondering if we're missing so often in our life what Jesus calls the best part. And I like the phrase that Jesus says, "What she has chosen will not be taken away." And I think of how much time do I spend on things that can be easily taken away from me. Things that are so momentary. Things that I feel like are so desperately important. And I spend so much time and stress and energy and finances on making something happen. All the while, it's something that after it's all done, it just goes. Maybe I have pictures on Instagram, you know, about it, but what is it that lasts? I think for Jesus, we recognize it's the relationships that are built. The sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the words of the Master, those things that last. Those being present with our community, our family, our church. Those are the things that truly last. Yet I know as a family minister, I so often meet parents who have outsourced their relationship with their children to teachers and coaches, youth leaders, other kids. They find themselves in the bleachers of their own family life. Within the church, I find so many people that come and just participate and miss the beauty of being able to truly be present within the church because they're so busy making church happen. Jesus isn't challenging work or servanthood. He never mentions that. Jesus' only criticism to Martha is you are worried and you are distracted. Those are the things that concern Jesus. The stress. Martha, you are stressed about things that are not truly required of you. You are missing what is right here. You are missing the reason that you called this party to begin with, and that is me. I am the person that you invited to the party, yet you haven't spent any time with me. And then he tacitly invites her. Within that, it's not a criticism. It's to say, why don't you come and why don't you sit as well? I don't know if you ever felt a particular kind of way about family members that were ungrateful. We mentioned that. That's happened from time to time. Maybe some of you who work very hard in this church might feel a certain kind of way about your brothers and sisters that are not helping. I don't know if you ever got caught up in the work that you're giving very little attention to the one that you're doing it for, or that we say that we are doing it for. But I also wonder if the rest of us are missing sitting at the feet of Jesus because we are so used to others doing all the work that we just show up and don't think much about it. It's easy to point out our cultural busyness, and I do encourage all of you to take some time with your schedule this week and ask yourselves, what percentage of my schedule are things that truly last? So many things that we call doing things for love and doing things for our family or doing things for our church, they're actually just things that come and they go, when the things that truly matter are the time that we spend, the relationships that we build, the time that we spend listening to Jesus. And I encourage you to spend some time with the Spirit of God this week, looking over your schedule and say, do I need to create some space for listening? Is there any white space in my schedule, or is every single moment allocated for so I don't have any room to listen? You know, and it's not like I'm saying stop doing these horrible things that you're doing. The most insidious thing in the world is filling our schedule with good things. You know what I mean by that? By jamming our schedule with good things so that we don't, as Jesus said, ever experience the best things. I'll end with this story. I was at a trade show once. This was a few years ago. And I love walking around trade shows. You know, I love those. You go to a convention, you walk around, and there's always food you shouldn't eat, and there's always new products, and there's this buzz in the air. I love it. I love walking around and just kind of getting a swag bag of new things and getting home and trying them. I love that stuff. I saw this one booth, and I passed, and it was a great-looking booth, very attractive. And so I went up, and I liked how everything looked. I like the design. The people seemed really nice. The packaging of the product, I'm not going to tell you what the product is. And the packaging of the product looked really good. I read some of the literature of the product. I'm like, oh, this looks really interesting. Talking to the person who is selling the product, and they were articulate and friendly, and it was great. And then I asked them a question that had to do with their personal experience of the product. Can you guess what they said? Yeah, literally said, I have to be honest, I've never tried it myself. But I've heard really good things. This person built a house for a product. Maybe it was involved in the packaging, the presentation, the selling of the product. They had given their entire weekend to wooing people into the booth to get them to become disciples of this product. But they never took the time, even once, to try the product themselves. The product that they work so hard for. And I fear that we are there so often. Families who work so hard for the family that they never get to actually experience. People who work so hard to afford a life that they don't enjoy because they spend their whole life working to afford a life that they are working to afford. Church people are spend so much time frazzled to maintain this house, but can't think of the last time they really prayed or reached out to someone with an open heart. Mary has chosen the part which is best. Martha's part was good. Jesus didn't deny that, and it's important. But Mary had chosen that which is best. So I'm going to implore you to take some time this week and make a list of your why. And look for that which is best. And make sure that you have room in your life for that which is best. And then sit at the feet of Jesus for a little while. Amen.